Today's broadcast is pre-recorded, so we won't be able to take your calls. But thank you for listening to We Hold These Truths on New Hampshire's Family Radio, WLMW 90.7 FM.
Well, hello, New Hampshire, from beautiful downtown Nashua. This is Karen Testerman, where We Hold These Truths is our foundation. In studio today, we have Laura Condon, who is our voice, New Hampshire's voice for vaccine choice. We are here because we want to let you know that you can make a difference. I hope you keep a pencil and paper ready because we are going to give you some information, and you'll probably want to jot down a note or two if at all possible. And that's the whole goal that I have for this or this program, is to keep you informed, to keep you up to date. You know, I came to New Hampshire several years ago and was totally astounded by what I found here. It was kind of interesting. I went to a free dinner, let's say. I was asked to go to the dinner. I didn't pay for it. And when I walked in, there was Congressman Charlie Bass, Senator Bob Smith, and Senator Judd Gregg. And I didn't pay anything to go to that dinner. And here I was in their presence, able to go up to them and carry on a conversation. I mean, they were just mixing in the crowd like anybody else. At that moment, I knew that I'd come to a very, very special state, the state of New Hampshire. And there are so many different things that I'd love to share with you as we go through the days that are very, very special about New Hampshire. But first of all, I want to say and extend our condolences to the family of Jim Finnegan. He was a editor for the Union Leader for many, many years, and very staunch on his principles. And he just passed at the age of 82. And so we want to extend our condolences to his family, and also to the families of the three Navy pilots that were lost in Whidbey Island this week. They were all three graduates of the U.S. Naval Academy, and again, these are young men and women. When you really look at the active duty force, it amounts to less than 1% of our total population. And when you look at all of the veterans and combine all of them, that's less than 10% of our population. So these are men and women who give their lives and their time and their efforts, and their families also sacrifice a lot so that we can operate in this country called America, where we are privileged to exercise our freedoms. I also wanted to be able to give you ideas about some of the things that are happening in our state and our nation currently. One of the things that I want to commend the Southern New Hampshire University for, under this, quote, sequestration, and we'll talk about sequestration another time, but it is one of those things where it seems that the president has gone after just about anything that would be of high publicity to call attention to it. And so they've said that they were discontinuing tuition assistance for our active duty military. And, you know, this is a crime in my estimation, because we lure the people into serving either as reserve or guardsmen on the promise that we will help you with your education. You'll be able to get a free education. And then they decided to pull the tuition assistance under sequestration. So this Southern New Hampshire University started to get wind of this from their online students and have stepped up to the plate and are offering scholarships to all current active duty students. And I just think that's a wonderful thing to do. I hope many of our other universities will step up to the plate and do likewise. Another thing that's coming up on the 26th of March is in Washington, D.C., is a March for Marriage. So if you're interested in going down, it starts at 8:30 in the morning. It's over by 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It would be a great thing to go down to and participate in. I hope you're interested in. And before I forget, I mean, should have done it right at the very beginning of this. I want to say thank you to Kevin Smith for substituting for me last week. He did a great job, even if he couldn't remember the name of this program. But it is a mouthful. So we hold these truths. But I do want to say thank you to Kevin for doing that. Now, in our studio today, we have Laura Condon. Laura's been a graduate of University of New Hampshire, and also she's taken some other courses over at the New England College in special education and psychology. But more to the point, Laura's one of these people who gets really interested in something and starts to research it. She's one of those people out there that we rely upon for research, and it's important that whenever you get a passion for something that you follow it, and if you're going to do it, you do it well enough for everyone to, or you know, when you're out there talking, you have some credibility and that you're really presenting people with facts and figures, which is, you know, how I got started in all of this was looking at public policy and making sure that people had well-researched information so that you, the person who's receiving it, can make an informed choice and take action. And I hope that that's what we proceed in doing. Laura became the voice for vaccine choice here in New Hampshire. She, in 2011, she was named the New Hampshire Director of Advocacy for the National Vaccine Information Center. And so, Laura, why did you get interested in vaccinations in the first place?
Oh, thanks so much for having me here today, Karen. It's a very important subject, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak on it. My interest in vaccine began some 32 years ago. I was a teacher for special ed children, specifically children with autism. And I had parents then, 32 years ago, express concerns about vaccines, and they were concerned that vaccines had caused their children's disability and their injuries. And as a parent, I did what limited research I could do when my children were born. Didn't have internet back then. I didn't have a computer. So, you know, didn't have the wealth of information that people have available to them today, but did the research that I could do, did selectively vaccinate my children. But I found that when my children went to school, there was, you know, maybe I think 19 vaccines that were required, and there wasn't a militant atmosphere about vaccines and the mandates that surrounded them. It you know, parents with their doctors were able to make reasonable decisions with vaccines. And but I knew that there was a concern out there and that there were children that were injured. We've all been told that there are risks to vaccines. There's risk of, you know, sickness, injury, disability, and death. I was notified of that, you know, when I gave the vaccines to my children. But they were downplayed then and they're downplayed now. But I did know that there were injured families out there. And I thought somebody was working on this. Surely somebody else was working on this important issue. But I didn't see a whole lot of activity on that. But what I saw is more and more mandates growing and more vaccines being developed and pushed on the public, mandated. And my concerns were especially raised back in 2006 as I saw Merck's campaign for the Gardasil vaccine. And they initiated a campaign for that vaccine prior to FDA approval. It's a phenomenon in marketing is what Merck did with the Gardasil vaccine. And so they were ready to roll as soon as they could push that FDA approval through for the Gardasil vaccine. And in fact, it very much was a push through insufficiently studied vaccine, and they pushed it through seeking mandates in every single state. And as you might know, Karen, you know, rather than seeking mandates through the legislative process is the way mandates often are imposed on the public. Although here in New Hampshire, we find it's no longer the legislative process. It's through the Department of Health and Human Services, the commissioner there mandates by rule vaccines. So we've lost control of that. But Merck went to governors in the various states and asked for executive orders mandating the Gardasil vaccine. And that really just kind of blew up not just the Gardasil issue, but vaccines in itself and themselves.
So they completely circumvented the legislative process.
Oh, they absolutely did.
Which is usually what you do. And I even have an issue with that because a lot of times I think government's role really should be to inform and then allow the individual to make the, if we had true freedom and true liberty, the individual would then make their decision with their medical provider. So, but here we are, we're going totally around and we're mandating from top of government.
Executive order, not just top of government, but one person, really. You know, the governor that could make this decision for children who's never met, for has no idea their health history, what their medical practices are, what their good health practices are. You know, none of that. For him to impose his will, you know, on the children of the state is, you know, was especially offensive. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the state of Texas did take offense to that.
I was just going to say Governor Perry took a whole heated attack because he did exactly that.
And certainly he should have. And, you know, they pulled it back to the legislature. But that's, you know, really when I jumped in with both feet and I looked around and I thought, what organizations are out there, you know, working hard on this? Who might I affiliate with? There are folks here in New Hampshire that have worked to bring a philosophical exemption to parents. There were two legislative efforts in that regard. And I did work on those projects. They did fall short. And so I continued to look to see where I could get involved, what organization I could help with. And it was really through NVIC, the National Vaccine Information Center. And I began to follow that organization, began to contribute with that. And
is that an independent organization? Is it, or who started it, really?
Absolutely. It's an independent organization. It's a national nonprofit that was started in 1982 by a woman named Barbara Lowe Fisher. She has a vaccine-injured child. And this organization was established to provide a clearinghouse, a resource of information on diseases and vaccines, the risks, the laws that regulate vaccines. So it's a one-stop shopping site. So for your listeners, that would be www.nvic.org.
Okay, great.
And just a tremendous clearinghouse of information. And so I reached out to them, spoke with them, interviewed with them, and they look for volunteer directors in each state. So I'm a New Hampshire director of advocacy for the state of New Hampshire. There's directors in other states, not all states. We continue to look for volunteers. And we follow the legislative process on this and really try to further the discussion on vaccines, childhood diseases, the risks and the hazards, and really try to promote informed consent, which is a free decision-making process for a patient or a parent to gather information in conjunction with their doctor, make the best medical decision for themselves, free of mandates or other coercions, you know, having your school withheld from you, your education, or being denied your occupation.
So you bring up an interesting point in that many times what we're seeing is that if your child is enrolled at this school, you're ready to go to school, but you as a parent feel because of either your medical history or just because you see things and are concerned about them and you don't want to expose your child to your child's body to that sort of an invasion, that you cannot enroll your child in school, that your child will be left behind, so to speak, because they are not vaccinated. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
That is true. We have vaccine mandates in the state of New Hampshire that require children to be vaccinated prior to, and it's not just school care, and it's actually prior to even daycare services that there's requirements on that, additional requirements, you know, for school-age children as well.
This is Karen Testimony with We Hold These Truths, and Laura Conlon is our guest. She's been on the show, Voice for Vaccines. We need to take a break and we'll be